everybody, and welcome to Your Music Your Way, the powerful path of sonic improvisation for accessing innate genius and liberating your unique and precious gifts. I'm here today with Vicky Dodd, and we're going to have a really fun conversation about the power of listening and how sound is so much about starting with listening and learning how to process what we hear in a way that we can express ourselves authentically. So welcome, Vicky. I'm really looking forward to this.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So we are at a time in human history, it seems to me, where the most important skill we could possibly learn is to be able to navigate the unknown with mastery. You know, we've known for around 100 years or so, at least intellectually, that reality is comprised of energy and matter that's just trading places with each other probabilistically. So the future is fundamentally unknowable. This is one of the things that mystics have always known, but a lot of just us normal people have always thought that you could, if you learned enough, that you could kind of know what was going to happen and you could prepare yourself for the future. Well, we know now, I think in our bodies, we're starting to know more and more, even in our experience, our daily experience of the things that are happening around us, that we really don't know what's going to happen. And it can be pretty terrifying. But the good news is that learning to navigate the unknown with mastery really helps with this, because we have a choice. We can either decide to brace ourselves from the unknown and the unknowable, or we can embrace that and have that become something that we work with, and that we can use our creativity and our flexibility and navigate in different kinds of ways. So enter sonic improvisation, which I'm starting to call the meditation at the threshold of the present and the future. If this is something that's been with us throughout human history, but it's also fresh, and it's the spontaneous creation of sound that can help us learn how to connect with our true nature as physical and creative beings, and to how to express ourselves more authentically in any given moment. So this summit is bringing together a diverse array of musicians and other improvisational artists, sound healers, scientists, ritual leaders, and activists to explore this profound potential of sonic improvisation for living musically and affecting personal and social and planetary change. So thank you to all of you for being here with us to engage in this collective exploration. So Vicky Dodd is a pioneer of sound as bodywork, and a teacher of the healing powers of sound as medicine. Sound has been her teacher for nearly 50 years, and she has worked with thousands of individuals and groups sharing the wisdom she has gained. She's an author of Tuning the Blues to Gold, several CDs, and she is a performing artist. Also, Vicky is a community herbalist, nutritionist, and movement teacher. She has created several sound schools and trainings in Europe, South America, and the US, and she currently lives on the Olympic Peninsula in Washington. And the topic that she's here to talk with us about today is sound is primarily the art of listening. Welcome again, Vicky. It's really, really great to have you with us, and I'm looking forward to this.
Well, thank you. I'm grateful to be here. And I'd like to just start with what you were talking about not knowing. And if that's all right with you,
Absolutely. Because
you couldn't be more current. I mean, the collective thinking right now, for a lot of us, we're feeling the weight of it, you know, because I don't know. It's too, and it's like a drug. We love it. Mm-hmm. We love it. We love to get so scared, you know. So at this point, if I can be of any service on this planet at all, would be to keep reminding us to plug in to the earth. Plug in with our feet. That's how you're going to listen. Plug in, because the winds of change are moving us all around. This week I'm afraid of that. Next week I'm afraid of this. It cannot be controlled that way. So with those mystics that you're talking about and those sages, I think that that's what they knew, is let me plug in. When I say plug in, we all agree, I think, these days that we're an electromagnetic field and that we're living on an electromagnetic field, and that I really just need to let myself be rested on it instead of holding up, holding away from being supported. Mm-hmm. How do I get supported? Mm-hmm. Where is my support systems?
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't have my support system with whatever the wind is blowing.
Yeah.
And it's going to be blowing more. We're just beginning to blow. We're just beginning the storms. And so I think, you know, the more and more that, I mean, I can get really kind of ridiculous about, you know, I think it's almost an insult that I have to have physicists tell me that nature is helpful and curing. But I one of the things that I've learned about myself is that I did not know how disconnected I was from the disconnect. And I really think that our responsibilities, whether we're sounders, meditators, mothers, fathers, that we're human beings, I think I need to get connected to something greater than myself. You know, and for me, the earth is absolutely greater than me, and the earth is above me, below me, beside me, behind me, in front of me, and inside of me. And so I have to start listening to what is the frequency that is supporting me.
So if I'm listening, if I'm listening to you talk right now, and I'm wanting to do this, but I don't really quite know how. And I know that, and I know that you're a sound person, and I know that you're talking about connecting to the earth. How could I do that? Like, what would be a step or two that I could take that would help me to connect to the earth or connect to sound in a way that would help me plug in?
Okay, well, they're really not different, because but they are in terms of the teaching of it. So I didn't want to actually do this as a teaching, but since we may be talking to a few folks that might not know how to plug in. So again, if I accept and acknowledge, just say at my feet, that I'm an electromagnetic system, and that at the soles of my feet are every nerve ending in this body, and that it is a beautiful map of the rest of me. So I can either, if I'm fortunate, I can actually go outside and stand on the earth barefooted, but I might not be. I might be in a 20-foot tower, apartment building, so it doesn't matter. I have to, magic gets to be no matter what. I get to stand in that 20 floors up, and I can still, I'm on an airplane, I can still, let me plug in. There's not any limitations to what my imagery can do. So imagery and intention are really, really helpful.
Intention.
You know, so it's like plugging in to this computer we're on right now, or to this light, then I plug right into the wall circuitry, and it connects me to electricity. So I plug in with my feet, even sitting here with you right now. I let the, at my pelvis sitting here, I let the earth come up and support me. Now, this is actually science. But it also sounds just being embodied and letting myself be rest, so that I could have some clarity, so that I could listen. If I'm always in fear, if I'm always ungrounded, I have no power at all for discernment.
It's interesting. What a good way to put that. It's the power of discernment, the ability to take in whatever the possibilities are, and to pick out the ones that can take you in the direction that you want to go.
Yes. Yes. Let me get present. It's an easy way, a simple way to get present. I can sit with a client, and I just get to sit there and plug in, so that I can actually be available to listen, instead of being concerned about what am I going to do later.
Very good. So when did you first start getting interested in these kinds of things? What was it that led you to working with listening and with sound? And I know you do a lot of work with vocals.
I only do vocals. I don't play anything. I mean, I play around, but basically my medicine is my voice, and I teach other people how to use their voice to demystify it.
Okay.
I didn't decide to do any of this. It wasn't a profession. It wasn't even an interest in the mind-body field. But my first listening was to the plants. I'm from the Ridge of the Ozarks, so I was fortunate that a lot of people around me still remembered. They had not all been industrialized. And so I got to have an imagination. I got to listen. I got to live in trees. So my first language was listening to the plants. The plants taught me to sound because I was trying. And that's where I learned harmonics was from. From nature, it's just loaded, and that's why we love to be in the forest, and we're you know, you feel like you're in a symphony, and sometimes I play like I'm conducting them, you know, you know what I mean. So, so that was my first, and I did not know that that was strange, and that's why I guess I prefaced it by saying I'm from the Ridge of the Ozarks because it wasn't strange. When I would tell my mom, you know, Mom, I just had a vision, yada, la, 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 last night. And she'd say, that's nice, honey. Now you just go on out and play. She didn't say, oh, my God, I knew we got to get a psychiatrist for you. Right. We're going to get you on drugs. Or I knew that I was going to have the Buddha child, you know. So I wasn't,
I wasn't
special. Let's not make it special. Let's not make listening special. Let's not be unable to open up more of our senses as special. Let it come back into reclaiming our senses as common sense. I'm sorry if I'm just ranting. I'm a ranter.
Let's let it be. Let's let it be. The mind works by flow, right? The mind works by connecting things to each other.
Well, yeah. And I've just worked with thousands of people, so I know that I'm speaking to thousands of people. I know that this is our commonality, not our uniqueness.
Right, right. And that seems so important these days. I keep thinking about this in the political landscape and so many different aspects with the virus. It's like so many of the things that are happening now, the message that I am hearing in all of them is learn how to connect with each other. Learn how to connect with each other. Learn how to connect with our bodies. Learn how to connect with people who disagree with you. Learn how to connect with each other. Learn how to realize that we are all in this together. You know, it's the you know, at the risk of being trite, but it's not really heard much these days. The only thing to fear is fear itself. It's like if we really can step into a different way of orienting, so that possibilities can emerge that we're not even imagining now, because it would be ridiculous to consider a grand consensus, a national consensus, you know. It's like that's preposterous. It's like, well, you know, I think we ought to, you know, I would imagine that probably 70 or 80% of the people in the population could vote for democracy. I mean, I think that probably, you know, we could get a pretty solid consensus on democracy. You know, let's look at that, and you know, let's look at, you know, enjoying each other and creating a social immunity from a disease that threatens all of us, and learning how to just sort of go, oh, well, it looks like I got infected. I'll take some antipathogens and some immune regulators, and I'll, you know, maybe sneeze for a few days, and then it'll be gone, and I'll have some immunity. You know, it's like it doesn't have to be a big deal, but the fear can just be so paralyzing.
The fear is the drug, and it works. And so, because it changes our chemistry, and we love our chemistry being changed. So if I can use sound, if I can start making a choice, do I want to go crazy or do I want to be able to be present? Because only in present can I make these decisions. And I agree with you that it isn't a great opportunity to connect with other people. And we've been living that for a few years now. That's been the gift of this time, is that it has been also shining the light. It's like, okay, where am I a racist? Where am I a sexist? Mm-hmm. You know, we all are somewhere. And that's what I need to shine the light on. Yeah. Where is that in me that I still don't love or accept?
Yeah.
So I don't love and accept that in me, I can't in you, you know? And historically, remember this, we've been here before.
Yeah.
Not that long ago.
That's true.
Not that long ago. And so we just use common sense.
Yeah, the various aspects of the mirror, you know, for me, I look and I go, well, what parts of me want to run the world? I mean, there's definitely parts of me that want to just say, you know, it should be this way. Let's just, you know, there's definitely parts of me that do that.
Instead of having the freedom of thinking out of the box, instead of having the freedom to not know, I mean, I know myself as a young woman, I could not know. It was something like it was dangerous to not know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'd make it up, you know. and the freedom to not know, to free, and that's the kind of sound and music that I've been making now for 50 years, is that I don't know what I'm going to sound. I don't know what needs to be sound. I don't agree with a lot of the people that do this. They probably don't agree with me. I don't think there's a sound for this and a sound for that. I think there may be an orb, and I also know that this is a liquid system, and that I'm living on a liquid system, so it's going to respond and resonate. That's not magic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the reality, mm-hmm. is that we resonate to sound. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, if yeah. we're alive, you know, so I don't know. That's why I'm talking about listening. So we practice a lot about our own, when I, through the years of teaching, I mainly talk about going into our own laboratory. Let this be my laboratory. I work with a lot of younger students. Well, actually, I did just a week ago. I was in Sausalito, and with all these new students coming in to want to be sound healers. And I don't even know what that means, actually, to be quite honest. And I know that may be disappointing. I haven't used the word healer for myself for at least 30 years. 50 years ago, when I first began doing any kind of healing work, by the way, I studied every form I could find of bodies and emotional, psychological things, because nobody wanted sound, so that I would have a front. Okay, once I got you in my studio and you started trusting me, I could say, do you mind if I just made some sounds here that I'm perceiving? You know, uh-huh. But I had to have these certifications all over the walls.
Right.
And it helped me. I'm grateful now, because it gave me a lot of maps.
Mm-hmm.
Again, our commonality.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But healing, but healing, that's a dangerous, I mean, I get fixed, I don't stay fixed, I get fixed, I don't stay fixed, you know, and I don't know what healing is. I've worked a lot with people dying, and I find out that was their healing, was to die. You know, dying isn't the worst thing that could happen to us. You know, and when I
hope not.
50 years ago, when I first started, this wonderful man, Maurice Paulson, he's been dead for a long, long time now, but he noticed that I had a proclivity for this, and he said, here's some advice. If you're going to take the credit for their healing, then you better be ready to take the blame for them not. And it'll be the same person. Mm-hmm. You know, we all want people to heal us. And it's not that I don't think that there's, we act like healing is a fixed concept. We act like grounding is a fixed concept instead of a constant movement.
So I love that question you raised there. And it reminds me of years ago, probably, I don't know, 25 or 30 years ago, when people like Joan Borisenko were talking about the difference between a cure and healing. And ever since then, it's just sort of been an interesting question. I think of healing now as when I'm thoughtful about it, I will use the word enwholing, like something that integrates, you know, integrates something that maybe was previously separated, so that there's mm-hmm. more connection. So that's kind of how I'm thinking of healing these days. Is it's a like maybe this kind of part of a larger process in which, you know, previously separated selves or parts got kind of rejoined and reconnected. Does that resonate?
Yes, I think that's, whatever resonates for us in terms of our imagining of what we're doing, you know, I don't think that, you know, that's, I don't think there's a right or wrong thing about this.
Uh-huh.
But I do know that all that I do with sound is really to try to match what's there. And by matching what's there, it starts changing. I don't know how it needs to be changed.
Uh-huh.
Right. I don't know how that fabric needs to come together.
Right.
Or it needs to come apart. I find that most of us need to just keep unwinding an unraveling, so much that's not ours. So that I can get closer, and I think this may be what you're referring to, so that I can get closer to that which is the innate wisdom, which is what I'm really wanting to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
It gets layered over through time, through traumas, dramas, through living, that I can't access it. So we help each other in different forms and ways to keep unwinding another layer that's gotten on top of your wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, that's all I think that I'm trying to do with my work. And I think that a lot of people, that's what we're trying to do, is just help us uncover that which we actually know, but we don't know how to remember it or access it.
Sound
is a beautiful tool for this. Of all the tools I know, and especially, well, of course, I would say voice, but I think the voice is so blooming accurate because I can follow the emotional and psychological layers, and especially with my hands touching too.
Because you're so intimately connected to your voice. It's your instrument. You know,
and so that I can follow, where does it want to go?
Mm-hmm. And so I hear in your talking there, this idea that your focus is on your own wisdom, your own internal messages, or your own internal wisdom as you vocalize. You're aware of something that's happening over here, but when you engage in your work, I would imagine that you are really paying attention to your own internal source of ideas and energies, and you're following that. So you're really just connecting with yourself in a deep way. I mean, I don't want to put it that way. So I'm asking if you're really just connecting with yourself in the faith that what you do from a place of authenticity and integrity will somehow maybe be
of service to another person. That's the training. That's why when people study, that's what I was talking about with these first people starting to begin, is that we come in, we want to be sound healers. We want to heal other people. And I'm saying, well, if you're going to study with me, you're going to have to spend at least a year, if not more, you know, with yourself. You're going to know your own laboratory so well that I'm not going to be sounding me while I'm sounding you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need to know my own.
Your own way.
A child that knows their own. Okay. So.
Can you say that again? I think I interrupted you.
Pardon, hon?
Say that last sentence again.
God bless the child that knows their own. You know, I mean, there's a reason for that. It's like, let me know my own. If I know my own, I can get out of your way.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't know my own, then I'm always diagnosing myself mm-hmm. on you. So
right.
I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you, but I just kind of want to interrupt I'm doing my work before I come to do your work with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to stay in my own presence. So as much as I can, I want to stay out of your way so that I can listen to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but it's doing our own work that is vital. It's not sounding someone else becomes the easy part. Doing our own internal, you know, angst and work and what's this and all that undigested memories floating around. That's mm-hmm. what I need to know about. So I'm so familiar here that I know how to be in presence, you know, integrate that before I'd ever come in to work with somebody else.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. You know? That thoroughly resonates.
I thought so. I just want. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's when I was saying that, I was thinking more just in terms of, you know, what is the field offering me to do right now? And I'm listening to, like, beyond my own ego and my own stuff. It's like,
absolutely.
It's wanting to come through me right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, you can ask directly. So I agree completely. So, you know, let's say we're on a body can I trust to be in relationship? So I'm wanting to be in relationship with that which I'm wanting to sound. So I can start asking it directly. What is it that you need? What mm-hmm. would you like? What color do you want? Mm-hmm. You know, does this match you? And so sometimes I have to play around to see. And as soon as you match it, it almost starts talking right back to you. You know, because I, in my little imagining, I think that we're just so welcome to be listened to. Oh, my goodness gracious, she's listening. So I can put my hands on a person's body and I can just wait and say, what would you like? I'm trying to teach me how to listen to you. I don't know how. So mm-hmm. I would come from a place of saying, I don't know. But I want to mm-hmm. the best of my ability, respect you mm-hmm. and listen back. And if I'm playing with other musicians, it's the same thing. It's like we come together before we get out on the stage or whatever, and we, you know, we might meditate with each other, breathe together, you know, at least have some form of respect mm-hmm. to say, I want to listen to you while we're playing this evening.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I want to have that integrity.
Sure, and build that relationship.
Build that relationship
from which music, more beautiful music, can emerge.
Exactly. Can I be? Yes. I'm sorry, I'm overstepping.
No. I am.
No, I just get excited.
We're both wanting to listen.
But it's like I want to be in relationship with that which I'm wanting to sound, instead of just throwing a technique on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so I've been fascinated in the last few days doing some of these interviews that there seems to be something so essential about relationship that it may even be that one doesn't even exist without the other. You know, the sort of back to the tree. The tree falls in the forest and nobody's there. It's like, did it actually make a sound? Somebody was talking. John Stuart Reed was talking about some of the measurements that he does with sound, and that and somebody else. This has come up in two or three different conversations. That the noticeable, measurable wave or sphere or whatever that you can see and hear doesn't actually happen until the sound wave interacts, or the sound interacts with another body, and then it resonates back, and then you can see that thing coming back. And so without that body to be there for it to encounter, you wouldn't be able to hear it in the first place. And it's the same way with quantum particles and so on. We're not really seeing the particles. We're just seeing the mark that they make on the substance that they interact with. Yeah. And we see their traces.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Like, yeah. We never know what we've done until afterwards. I mean, we are physicists in that way.
Yeah. And if you're working with a client, it's like your work can't be an offering unless it's received, and that person's existence can't kind of happen and shift without your presence in a way.
Yes, and my intention is that I only want to sound what that body wants to have revealed at that moment, not to try to impose my mm-hmm. music on it mm-hmm. or impose healing on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So I love just coming from that place of, I don't know. Please let me be teachable.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
You know.
That reminds me of a time years ago when I was a statistics consultant and I was working in a university in Texas, and I was just out of grad school, a year or so probably out of grad school, and I'm sitting there and I'm trying to help these people with their research problems, and I was trying to always know everything, and one day somebody came in and they had this problem and I just didn't quite know what to do, and in that moment I just knew I wasn't going to be able to fake it any longer. I couldn't like fake my way through it. And I just said, you know, I just don't know. I need to look this up and get back to you. Is that okay? And he said, sure, you know, we'll get back in another couple of days. And it was just like, whew, you know, it was this huge, not only just in that situation, but it helped me to realize that, you know, it's okay. it's just okay to not know.
And let me go to where I don't know. And that's the musicians. Years ago, I met these wonderful musicians when I was living in Boulder, and we would come together. And it was so wonderful to work with these folks that were willing to go to where they didn't know, because they knew so much, you know, and to be willing, it's like, we don't know where it's. So we actually had to start trusting each other in ways to hold this field, you know, and not just about we had good chops or not. You know, when I was a young woman and I was living in Mexico and I was on Monte Alban having I didn't know what a vision quest was at the time, but I ended up having one by myself up there and being shown all these sound, color, movement, you know, centers all spread out all through the earth. I just lost what I was going to say. Because it has something to do with that.
Well, not knowing, a bunch of people.
It'll come again.
A bunch of people that musicians had come together and they.
Oh, yes,
that
was it. Thank you. And this is ancient. You all probably know it. But at that time, this was like 66 or something. I did not know that, you know, that basically musicians were revered, you know, for not by their chops, not how good their chops were, but how much soul they were actually expressing. And so that in a sense is what we're really saying when we say to not know, are we saying to be present, to say we're listening, is like, can I really trust that there is something greater than especially my upper brain? Thank goodness through the years, we're talking about the enteric brain center, now the heart field, but I think there's incredible brain in many places on this bodily instrument. Mm-hmm. And all that I keep learning, when you reminded me this, when you were speaking about the statistics, you know, that meeting with that person, is the inherent wisdom, Daniel, that's in this body. I mean, one of my first mentors was a woman by the name of Dr. Ida Roth. I was part of that system years and years ago. And I was really young when I heard her talking to her students at that time. You could go as deep into this physical form as you could go into the cosmos. Now, so this is, you know, late 60s, mid 60s, I don't know. I knew it was a profound statement. I did not understand it, but now I had the direction. Like all of spiritual teachers, all mystics forever have always been saying, it's this direction, not this direction, you know, and that. So I love that I just keep wanting to unwind to see what is there, you know, to get closer to my soul, maybe. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just keep unwinding all the stories. I've spent years working with our stories. You know, we just all got them, gratefully. And but yes.
So I wonder if you would be willing to do it's not like a demonstration, but I wonder if there's some way you could take what you just said and take us through a few minutes of something that would help me, since it's really all about me.
I would love that.
That would help me and whoever's watching to have a sense of what you're talking about, a felt sense of what you're talking about.
Well, I could take all of our conversation and put it into sound.
Mm.
And that way it would help digest it more and maybe be assimilated. Well, that would be digesting. Be my pleasure.
Great.
And again, you know, I don't know. So, but my desire is that it be of service.
Mm.
Chin no no yellow bohona yellow yellow yana no 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 yana no no yana no mo na 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 mo ya shiko no no lo yo lo yo lo yo lo yo lo yo lo mo le yo yo lo le yo lo yo lo no shi. She rom the on the she Ela mama matea. Eshwe la hosa. Enya la haye. Blessed be.
Oh, man. Oh, woman. Oh, wow. There's so much blessing in that. So much blessing in that.
Grateful.
So may I share two or three experiences that I had during the course of that?
Sure.
So at one point I thought it was super cool that we were just doing this on this summit call. You know, it's like, wow, how cool is this? You know, that you're going to realize on this summit, and there's no telling how many people are watching, but how super cool is that? That was one thought. And one was, it took me back to childhood because I had a good friend when we were kids that would just, do that kind of talk. And I'm sure all children do that. And so
they could probably hear the plants.
I don't know what we were hearing, but it was.
It feels good
It just feels free. It's just fun. It feels. And then I didn't know until years ago when I started hearing the Tuvan throat singing that it's like, I used to do that when I was a kid. And people talk about that like it's so like, wow, you have to have, you know, meditated for 20 years or something before you. It's like, I used to do that when I was a kid.
Now that you're from Appalachia, you do it all the time. I mean, that was our instruments. And that's what we're all doing. We're imitating what we hear.
And then towards the end, you made a sound that sounded to me like Native American grandma elder with hugely reassuring heart, just reassuring the child that all shall be well, and that, you know, I'm here, and that the universe is here for you, and you're blessed. And I heard that in your voice, and so many things that got communicated in just such a short time there.
Sound has been my teacher for all of my life. And I think it's arrogant to say that we teach sound. You know, sound teaches me. And that's why I don't have to know what I'm going to sound. I don't know which characters want to sound. Because basically I'm just reading what's here. Mm. Right in this room here, and plugging into wherever you are. Conversation. And what I love about it is that it's teachable. It's transmittable. Yeah. I've been able through these years to teach hundreds and thousands, I don't know, many folks how to find their own voice. They don't sound like me. Sound, what I basically teach these days, these years, is how to mend our nervous system. Because of everything we're talking about on the planet, real or imagined, however we feel about it or don't feel about it, it's an epidemic of being in the sympathetic stress syndrome. So most of my teaching for the last at least almost 20 years has been teaching people how to come into their parasympathetic system by choice. There's an epidemic of adrenal stress. There has been for a few decades. It's called burnout, shingles, nervous system disorders, breakdown. Our voice and our instruments and our intentions is a beautiful, simplistic tool on a daily basis to help mend and soothe our nervous system. Because that's a lot also what you were feeling there. You know, that it's soothing. Our voice, our bodies love the sound of our voice, loving on it. You know, our instrument, but my voice is my instrument. If I had a choice coming back into another life right now, I would say, oh, please let me learn to play every instrument in the world. Because I just admire people who can just pick up things and play them. I mean, I pick up things, but it's not the same. But I can pick up my voice and I can match that instrument. So that gets to be some fun. That would be a joy to have that.
Well, there's a lot. There's so many advantages to stepping in to the voice. I've been in an improv theater company. I'm not now. The company hasn't been for a few years now, but for about 10 years was in this playback theater company. And so it's this thing where, you know, you've got to come up with something to say. And sometimes you have to just, you know, it's you and you have to step up and open your mouth and you know what you're going to say and just something has to come out. But I always felt so much more relaxed and less pressure if all I was expected to do was to make a sound. Because somehow or other, that is just so easy. It's just, you know, it can be anything, and it can be something that matches exactly what I'm feeling exactly.
And it's quite accurate. The voice is very accurate.
Yeah.
We know how people are really feeling. We go, how you doing? I'm doing all right. Oh, really? You know, the voice tells you just about everything you need to know. Yeah. And what concerns me about a lot of the younger people I often meet in restaurants or encounters by, your voices are really high. And so it tells me that somehow their voice cannot drop in to this body for whatever reasons. I don't know why, you know, and that, you know, I start hoping that they get some body work,
yeah.
Somebody to help them rest enough. So then my voice can actually have some place to live.
Yeah.
You know, I'm having to hold on so tightly through here.
Yeah.
You know, and I know I'm making a big generalization and a lot of, you know, and it is. But there is also some concern when I hear so many disembodied voices.
It communicates a lot.
It communicates a lot. I don't know exactly what, but I do know that they would that it's going to catch up with them.
And interestingly, I imagine that that the quality of the voice is the kind of thing that not only communicates a lot, but that people who hear it. You know, I mean, it's like something that we just kind of innately hear. We can tell. We can hear that emotion, or we can hear that uncertainty, or we can hear that lack of embodiment, or, you know, that's something we just innately know just from hearing.
Right. The emotion is in there. The you know, the tiredness is in there. What you've eaten is in there. You know, how you're feeling about your environment, if you feel comfortable in it. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful message. You know, thank goodness we can hear that from each other. So yeah, that absolutely. If I can't really voice it, you can say, you sure you don't want to talk a little bit about that, you know, without me having to say, you know, it's like, yes, I would like that, you know. And so thank goodness we can listen to one another and have some compassion.
And here's to some permission to whoever's watching this, and a reminder to me to listen beyond the words, and to listen underneath the words, and to listen more to the sound of someone's voice, and to listen, because maybe certainly I've said things that aren't really my truth, and that my truth is not really adequately reflected by the words that I chose in that moment. But chances are I was probably telling the truth with my voice.
Right. Or I've said some things where you know, as soon as you said it, you go, oh, that's not true. And it kind of hangs in the air. You go, let's dissolve those words and start again. I mean, it's like, I think the more and more inner work we do, it becomes more and more obvious when it's not in integrity with really who I am now and what I really want to say or communicate. Mm-hmm. And so it's like we kind of bust ourselves, you know, it's like,
that wasn't it.
That's not what I am. and that we become more and more willing to just be honest about it. It's like, whoops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Vicki, is there anything else that, you know, that you would like to share on this topic of improvising and using sound as a way to really express our authentic nature? And I guess here's a question that I'd like to ask you. You've been talking about it already, but how would you say that your ability to improvise with your voice and to use sound in a moment has helped you in other areas of your life? How has that helped you in your relationships, or maybe your teaching? Or how does it help you when you're not actually singing or teaching? Or has it, you know, how would you?
Well, I started vocalizing because I didn't vocalize. I had throat nodules when I was about 13. You couldn't even talk about like this because I didn't want you to hear me. But I was always perceiving. So I could perceive more than I could express. My mother got me tap shoes when I was about 3. So then I could tap out, you know, the emotional bodies. So when I was able to finally start using my voice, it saved my life. I don't think I'd have stayed on the planet because, like so many people I've worked with through the years, are highly sensitive. They were, you know, we didn't know how to stay out of other people's business mainly. And, so what I've learned from that is how to keep bringing myself home. So if I hadn't have started using my voice to start bringing parts of me that had been fragmented through different lifetimes, or this lifetime, or that car wreck, or that love affair, or that accident, that argument, life. So I can use my voice to bring myself home. For the last 20 years, most of my sound work for myself, Daniel, is silence. I rarely make audible sounds, not unless I'm working with someone or teaching or performing. But otherwise, for my own, I find that silent sound is actually more accurate for me. It's a wonderful way to empty the garbage that I'm thinking, or the fears that I have, or the upset that I can just go, you know, and then I can actually be here present. So voice is beautiful, to just like you were talking about. And I never was part of an improvised group. I don't know how to improvise. I don't think I improvise at all. I think I just listen. So, but through the years I learned that was one of the, but emptying is one of the formulas that I used for decades now, is hum, empty, hum, you know? So the humming keeps my nervous system, you know, so that I can actually be in better relationships with whomever I'm with. You know, life happens all the time. Most of it I am powerless about. But I still want to upset myself. I can't afford it. There's wonderful about getting older is that you go, it becomes less important to hurt myself over, or others. Mm-hmm. And so I can sound to empty. I can sound so that I can literally have some clarity of knowing what is it that I'm really feeling. Mm-hmm. What is the action that needs to take place? So I can sound my fears. I can sound my love. I can sing love songs to my body, you know, which is what I was doing this morning as I was preparing myself to be with you. It's like, oh, just sounding a love song, because you're always, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to, you know, life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so I think it's helped probably all of my relationships, whether they know it or not, have benefited greatly by my using my voice or my medicine for myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so that I could be the kind of woman that I want to be, that I can show up in integrity and have some dignity about me, which I didn't know as a young woman. You know, I thought I had the right just to dump anything anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do I take care of my own stuff? And then we can have this conversation. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful working with couples. I used to work with couple relationships, of how they could actually articulate. And words often aren't enough. They need to sound it. And then they could talk. Let's get the top layer off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Humming has been the main way that I've worked with myself for about 40 years.
Mm.
So, I don't know. Did I answer your question?
Yes. Yes. Beautifully.
I think it's a great tool, and you don't need to carry anything with you.
Yeah, right. You're right there.
People say, well, I can't do it. I live in apartments, or I'm visiting. So I would say, oh no, you just take a pillow. You can. So it's
It's not even a piccolo. You don't even have to haul a piccolo around.
You don't even have to hold it. Yeah, exactly. I don't have to worry about it getting stolen or set it down someplace. So
no, you don't need a nose flute, a kazoo, nothing.
Nothing, not even a kazoo. Incredible. I'm grateful. I'm so honored that you included me in this incredible group of people that you've got here. And I really do pray that any of my yakking could have possibly have been of service to somebody.
It definitely has been to me. It definitely has been to me, and I'm sure many others. And I'm just so grateful that you had the time and were willing to offer your time today to this conversation and your heart and your voice. It's just delightful to get to know you a little bit. We had a conversation recently in the lead up, but this is number two, and I hope it's the beginning of many more down the road. I'm really enjoying getting to know you.
I think that we do need to all be communicating more together. When I began this, I knew everyone on the planet that was doing sound at that time in the 60s and 70s and 80s. I'm sorry by going over, but when I'm thinking about the people last week when I was teaching, I felt like all I was doing was being an anthropologist for them to know all the bones, for all of us to know all the bones we're standing on, all the shoulders we're standing on, all those men and women, from especially before World War II, we were so much more alive about this. Mm. And then going even ancient times, but I mean, even current time. Before World War II, there was a lot going on with avant-garde art and sound and esoteric understandings with the old theosophists. And then we became very, very conservative. And we're still quite conservative.
I never thought of it that way.
I'm writing the Ozark papers right now for myself. And one of the statements that I'm asking is, when did hillbillies become Republicans? If you know anything about history, they were socialist and radical and were unionizers. My grandfather worked for John L. Lewis to organize the miners. So when did we become? And I know that I shouldn't get into politics, but it's a good question.
It is a good question.
The amnesia is being fed. That's a whole topic sometime, Daniel, if you want to do sound and amnesia. I've been working with amnesia with sound for, anyway.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of evidence these days about, YouTube videos galore about some, these Alzheimer's patients that just light up when they hear some song from their childhood and start singing away. I've seen that.
That's exactly, and I love that. But I'm talking about not Alzheimer's. I'm talking about young people. I'm talking about myself. I'm saying how much we have forgot. We forget. I mean, I'm working with people last week that don't know anything about who they're standing on. Mm-hmm. It's like me saying, and then I created. I know I didn't create anything. And I do know that what sound can do is help us remember.
Wow, that sounds like a whole nother conversation right there.
Yeah, it is.
One of the things that I am stepping into a little bit, just in my own awareness, is about how profound the power of sound is. Some consider it the primordial creative force. And so if there's anything that exists in the universe, it's standing on sound.
Yes, and exactly. So all of my, for myself, my prayer is may I be able to keep practicing or learning or be teachable. May I not know, may I be able to practice some humility because I don't know. I did not create any of it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know that there is probably so much more. Does it be?
There probably is. There probably is. This has been so delightful. It's been so delightful. Thank you so much, Vicki. This is totally grand. How can people get in touch with you?
Well, let's see, I have a website called Sacred Soundworks, www.sacredsoundworks.com, Vicki Dodd, D-O-D-D, at gmail.com.
With an I-E, a Vicki with an I-E?
I-E, yes, V-I-C-K-I-E. I come from the Ozarks. I did not know it was a nickname.
The whole Victoria thing, you never got Victoria, did you?
Never. Oh, gosh, no, I didn't even come close. I mean, you know, hey, Mas. Anyway, those are two good ways. And I like to be accessible. I really do. If you write me, I'll write you back. I think we need to connect more instead of being in such isolation from one another.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so we have all these ways of communication, and we don't communicate.
And we don't communicate. let's spend a little more time with that, shall we?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Because we need it. It's fuel, and we all have so much. Yes. I'm grateful to be here again. Thank you, and for this excessive time you've given me. Thank you.
This has just been delightful, Vicki. Really has. And I look forward to the next time, one way or the other.
Okay. Blessed be. May this be a safe, enjoyable day for you.
Aho.